God bless you in Jesus' name. I preached yesterday, and I see many faces again here this morning that were not here yesterday. And I'm so happy to be here to preach. As I said yesterday, it's my second time of coming here. I was here in May 2008. And as Brother has told you already, how the Lord led me all the way from Africa. I came here, and since 1 year, I've been moving around. I went to Thailand. From Thailand, I went to Cambodia, as the Lord was like leading me. And I realized that, you know, the safest and the best place to be now is to be in the Word. And the best thing to do is to be in the perfect will of God. Because all along, I was like trying to do my own thing. You see, and I realized the more I was trying to do my own thing, there was no opening for me, because God had a purpose. He wanted me to do something for Him. And I'm so thankful with what He's doing. And I must say I'm grateful again of the hospitality, the love that I've really gotten from the brothers and sisters here in Singapore. As I said, I've been to other churches when I just came, but, you know, they showed me love, but the love was like more filial, and I could not stay there. I just visited the churches just 2 times, and I just had to leave. But when I came here, the love is so deep and so strong. You know, I just feel we're a family, and I'm so grateful and happy with all the support you have been supporting the brothers and sisters there in Cambodia. You know, preaching is one of the things that in my life I've always been running from. I just believe in the house of God, we have many services that, you know, a Christian can do. I was just like thinking that just being an ordinary Christian, well, is that is okay for me. You have helps, you have administration, you know, I can maybe pray, you know, for the sick or do any other thing. But for me to stand like someone preaching and trying to lead, you know, an assembly is something that I've always been running from. I always came with so many complaints and told God, and I said, you know, first of all, my voice is very small, you know, the kind of complaints that Moses gave to God. I said, you know, I cannot speak. I'm not an eloquent speaker. I cannot speak, Lord. I cannot do this. But the Lord said, you know, I'm the one who gives people the mouth to speak. So when the Lord, you know, arrest you and wants you to do His will, you just have to obey. And, you know, there's one thing again I was really afraid of, because preaching is like, I would say, a minister of the gospel is like a driver. You know, I don't know if any of you have ever entered a car where the driver hasn't got a license. I'm scared. You see, because the driver hasn't got a license, he's not permitted to do that. I witnessed one situation where a driver was driving a car, and this driver, he didn't have a license. And there was an accident, and one person died. And when the police came, they were like checking, and they saw the man. The policeman said, "Sir, can I see your license?" The man didn't have a license. You see, he was sweating, and he was nervous. He knew that he was in for a very big trouble, because he was doing something that he was not permitted to do. And that is the same thing with being a minister of the gospel. A minister of the gospel, I consider him to be a driver licensed by a divine revelation. God has to give you the license. God has to come to you and to make you know that He has called you to do that. And when God does that, He opens the word to you. In other words, you come to know the truth. As you are leading the people, you have so many false doctrines, so many things that causes death. You see? But if the minister has the license, God is obligated to lead that person to all truth in such a way that that minister will be able to understand the word, so that he will be able to give the passengers in his car the word, so that they will not be deceived or maybe take doctrines that are not good, that's unhealthy. So I realize that is very, very important, you know, for one to seek the face of God. Whatever thing we are in the body of Christ, in the body of Christ, there are so many things to do. You see, you have 9 gifts of the Spirit. You have other services, other administration, and many other things. And in Corinthians chapter 12, we read about the body having many members, and the eye cannot say, "I don't have need of the nose," or the nose cannot play the function of the foot, or all those kind of things we read in the book of Corinthians. So in the body of Christ, we know that each and every one, we have our own duties to do, and it is recognized and respected by God if we do it faithfully. So we don't have to probably, you know, step over borders to do something that, you know, God has not called us to do. Lest, again, we'll be doing God a service without being His will. Amen. So that is, after all this, I really came to understand, and as God was like speaking and leading me, and I was praying. It was not easy, I must say. It's a very difficult thing. Yes, you had all kinds of obstacles. Even when I went to Cambodia, you know, I had all kinds of dreams. I fought with dragons. I don't know the kind of where all those dragons were like coming to attack me in the dream. It was not easy. So I spent most of my life praying and fasting. I stayed 3 days dry without eating and stuff. I said, "But Lord, what is all this happening?" As I gave my testimony yesterday, I don't want to repeat it today because it's long. But I really thank God for the grace that He has led me into all truth. Because as I said, people are talking about Branham. God gave me a vision concerning His ministry, as I said yesterday. An angel of the Lord appeared, and he came with a book, and he told me that I asked him, "Are you for Jesus?" He said, "Yes." And he told me that he has a message for me of Brother Branham. He gave me a little book. He brought a little book. I was asking him, "Can I keep this book?" He said, "Yes." Then he was stressing something that I should read and understand. And again, he took me. We went to one place. It was like a restaurant. And I saw many people holding plates. And these plates, you had food inside. And he was turning and said, "Is there nobody here to be baptizing these people?" So that is a dream I had about 7 years ago. So when I came to Cambodia, that dream fulfilled as I started to baptize all these people after giving them the word of water baptism, the name of Lord Jesus Christ, because so many of them were baptized in titles. So I realized that God was like speaking, and not only that, God led me to prophetic revelations, because even while back when I was home, I saw I just browsed through the net, I saw prophetic revelation. Then something spoke to me that you see this person one day. But then, about 5 to 6 years ago, I did not get into reading the messages there in the net. But when I came, since I really wanted the truth, when the time came that, because the Lord was like speaking, that you travel to a foreign country, even before I could travel, I saw me preaching to people of your color. I mean, way back, I would say this happened about, you know, I mean, it's a long time. I was preaching. I was saying, "Oh, this preaching thing, I don't know about it, you know, because, I mean, it's never been my, you know, desire to stand and be preaching to people. I just wanted to do my own little thing in the house of God." So that I kept having all this, and when the time came, when I came, and the Lord led me to this church in Singapore, and when I left, well, I told Brother a couple of visions that I've been receiving. And I didn't go any further because I was still like trying to like go deeply seeking the face of the Lord to confirm what he wants me to do here. So when I went again, that is when the Spirit came again, and I was communicating with Brother. I was sending emails and he was writing to me, and just like that, then the Spirit started to lead me, push me, and I was reading the messages in prophetic revelations. You see, and I realized that I came to understand many things as I was just like preaching yesterday. It was like a door opened, then there was some just great light. You see, there were so many things I could not understand in the scripture, even after the Lord showed me the message. But again, I mean, the Lord knew that many people are just going to like just twist the message. They're not really going to understand the revelation of the message of the prophets. So the Lord led me, started reading prophetic revelations. I was going, and I realized that whenever I am to go the next day to read the messages in the net, I always dream finding myself in a white car. So I said, but this white car, what is it all about? Every time. Then I came to understand that the white car is a true church. You see, it's a ministry, it's a true church. And the messages that I was getting was leading me, because God has his way. He promised that he will lead the people into all truth. You see, so if you desire the truth, God has a way of leading you. He will make you to understand that where you are going, you are not wrong, it's the truth. And even when I came, he gave me a dream concerning brother, where I was just like there moving, and I went and I saw a house. In front of the house, there was a pond of water, a pool of water. Then I saw him. I did not see him again, and I was asking, where is he? Then the spirit ministered to me that he has gone upstairs. So I started to climb upstairs now, and the walls, as I was climbing the stairs, the walls, I could see strange writings. Strangest writings was like strange. I could not read them. So when I climbed up now, I went to a certain room and I sat down. And when he came to Cambodia, I was like preaching again. And I just told him that if I could be with him for 1 month, I would learn a lot. I've understood so many things I did not know before as I started reading the messages. So I realized that the dream, climbing up, was not a physical climbing. It was a spiritual climbing, the revelation that, you know, I have gotten from the messages, you know, that I've read. You see, because I came to understand many things, and I was just so filled with joy. You see, there were so many questions and things that I was in the message church. Well, the quote-unquote Branham, I could not understand. But I came to understand when I started reading the sermons, the messages in the net. So, I mean, I really thank God, you know, for the truth that he has made us to come to see. As I said, well, it's like a confirmation, because he has brought me to a level in my faith that, you know, I've understood the word, that I will say I'm like confirmed. There's no doctrine that can twist me again about. You see, because I know the truth, and I know all the things the people have been arguing about, don't want to humble themselves, as Jesus Christ came to set an example, that if we want to follow him, you know, there's a pattern. We have to become like little children. And that is why he talked to Nicodemus about being born again. You see, but many people today, they don't want to be little children. They just want to be up there. They don't want to humble themselves, you know, when a revelation comes, God gives, you know, his ministers a revelation concerning the word, and he brings it forth. They don't want to humble themselves, take the scriptures and to verify. They just feel that they are some kind of a big minister, and, you know, but that is not an example that Jesus Christ said when he came on earth. In fact, as I said yesterday, when the disciples wanted to stop the children from coming close to him, he said, for me not these children, for the kingdom of heaven is unto such people like this. So it's an example that all of us have to become like little children. And it's a shame that when you see people are being reading the word and the mystery comes, the revelation comes, and it's very clear, they don't want to open the Bible and to verify these things. They just stand and hold on certain kind of doctrine. Well, it's like a shame. But I'm thanking God that he has given us his grace to know this truth, because he is merciful. And that is what he has promised, that anyone who hungers and thirsts for righteousness shall be filled. Yes. But if you don't hunger, you just hold the doctrine of something, you know, it's going to be difficult. First of all, the door is not going to be open. Secondly, you're not going to receive that light that is going to help you grow in the word. Then how? You know, you cannot be confirmed. You see, because it's only the word, the true word, that can confirm you, not the words of any person. So I would just like us to read, to open our Bibles to 2 Kings, chapter, oh, I cannot read with the glasses, I have to put it off, I cannot read with it. Second Kings, chapter 5, verse 9. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 9 to 12. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 9 to 12. Okay, can we stand up, please? I'll just read verse 9, then you can sit down. I'll read the lady or else later. Okay, 9. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. And not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. Let us pray. Precious Lord, Savior and Master, I'm not worthy to stand in front of you people all here to share your word. But Papa, I'm dependent upon you to break this bread of life, O Lord, and to feed every soul that has gathered here this morning. Papa, Lord, I pray that you restore perfected lives. You take every doubt and unbelief from your people. Let us be strong and confirm your word. Papa, as your word comes to bathe us, Lord, that everything, Lord, leprosy, spiritual, or whatever thing that may hinder our spiritual growth, may your word wash us and let us be clean. Amen. Thank you, O Lord, Papa, for this day that you have given us. May your heavenly name be glorified. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.
Amen.
Can we be seated? I'm going to give the background of the story that preceded before the scriptures. We know what sin can do to a believer. Sin opens the way for so many things, for demons and many other things to come and to oppress or to suppress the believer, because the Bible says sin is unrighteousness to God. And when we sin, obviously, you see, God also, you know, goes away. And the only way we can bring him back is to repent sincerely. And Israel had sinned against God. And, you know, the army, the Israelite army was very wicked, and, you know, because of their sins, disgusting things they were doing, worshipping all kinds of gods, and, you see, God was just like unhappy. And he allowed many of, other nations, you know, to defeat them, to torment them. And here the Syrians came, you know, they fought against the Israelites and, you know, they had them beaten and, you know, it was like pathetic. And in this one of the raids, they had to capture one Israelite girl. And this Israelite girl became the servant of Naaman's wife. Naaman was an officer of the Syrian army. He was well respected, he was well known. I mean, you know, he made a lot of victories for his country. And but there's just one thing, he had leprosy. So the servant girl talked to the mistress and told the mistress that, "I know if my master can go to see the prophet in Samaria, he'll be healed of leprosy." So the mistress now, the mistress went and told her husband, Naaman, that this girl has said if you can go to Samaria, they will heal you of what you're suffering from. So Naaman went now and saw the king of Syria and said, "This is what I've heard. If I can just go to Israel, go there, you will heal me of this disease that I'm suffering from." We all know how, you know, leprosy, it was a very dreaded disease. It was like, you know, no balm of Gilead could, you know, cure leprosy. We all know what happened to Miriam when he tried to speak against Moses and he was sent out of the camp for 7 days with leprosy. And many other people in Israel who had leprosy, they were like sent away, and regularly they had to visit the priest to check, you know, their situation. So, I mean, it was not easy, you know, somebody having leprosy to be healed. It was a very serious disease, difficult. So Naaman had this, and it was a difficult case. So when he went and saw the king now of Assyria, the king of Syria now wrote a letter and gave to Naaman and told Naaman that he should take this letter to the king of Israel. And Naaman took this letter, and what was in the letter? The king said to the king, wrote to the king of Israel, said, "This letter will introduce to you my officer Naaman. I want you to heal him of his disease." Now, when Naaman brought this, it was a very difficult thing. When the king of Israel read this, he was like, you know, very distressed, knowing that his country, you know, was all like, you know, there was no power left, and the country was just like defeated. And he knew that this king was like bringing another problem to him, and said, "But why is all this? Am I God to heal this man of this disease? Why should this king be bringing such a message that this king is trying to cause another trouble, another problem, to bring another, to find faults, to attack me again and to destroy my country?" So the king was very, very depressed. But when Elisha heard of the story that the king was depressed, what did he say? Elisha said, "Why?" He said, "Tell this man to come to me, and he will know that there's a prophet in Israel." And you see, Elisha is somebody who has been with God, and he was a prophet of God. He was very certain and, you know, sure that God has called him. God was speaking to him. He has got the revelation. You see, so he knew that if he prays to this man, something is going to happen. In fact, we know of many things that Elisha did in the Bible, and, you know, in the name of the Lord. Just as we are here today, we know the kind of God that we are serving. We are not doubting the God that we are serving. We have got, I mean, the word, I mean, we have many testimonies, we have the truth. You see, all other gods, whether they call in Cambodia, they have, Buddha is about, I say 90% of the people in Cambodia, they are Buddhist. You know, and you have, you know, many other gods. You see, but we are certain of the God that we serve. You see, because as I said yesterday, we have a great cloud of, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. When we read in the Bible, you see, we know, we see all what God did. And even what is doing presently among the believers, his word and everything, the joy and comfort that, you know, he gives us. Our sister was just testifying of, you know, the good things that God just did to her concerning the application she did. There are so many things. All of us have testimonies of what God is doing. And our spirit bears records that we are worshiping the living God. We cannot be tossed around or by any false doctrine, because we are firm in the word. We are certain of the Lord that we are worshiping. So Elisha was certain of the God that, you know, has called him into the ministry. And many times I like to boast about Jesus Christ. Yes, that's my nature. I have nothing to boast about. I don't have money. I don't have anything, but I have one thing that is most important. I have his word. Amen. You see, and his word is like life to me. So when many things come, situations, I always boast to people about Jesus Christ. And when I do that, I feel so good. I share the word, I feel encouraged, I feel good. You know, as I came, I was able to talk to the people, and I see many people in Cambodia being touched, and they are happy. They see the manifestation of God. They see his word being presented. You know, I mean, there's a new life in them. They know that we are worshiping, serving the living God. We're not serving Baal and all those things, you know, this, you know, all those false gods. We are not. So Elisha was certain of the God that he was serving. He could make this claim. Tell him to come here, and he will know that he's a prophet in Israel. So when read the story, when Naaman went there, what was he expecting? He was expecting some kind of a mighty kind of manifestation. Maybe the man of God comes and do some kind of a thing, you know, around him, and maybe, certain times you need to see how they're worshiping these other gods. They'll do all kinds of manifestation and stuff, you see, to bring down the spirit or whatever. But Elisha did not even come. And before Naaman could even go to see the prophet, he bought so many things, probably presents and all whatnot to give him. Just like we have in Africa, it's a terrible thing. You have people, they will prefer to go and see mediums. And when they have some kind of complications and stuff like that, for them to come to the world and stuff, it's difficult. They want to go and see mediums. And the amount of money and things that these people charge, they cannot believe it. Some will tell you to bring goats. Some will tell you to bring about, you know, 50,000 francs. You know, some will tell you to bring all kinds of things. You know, and these people, they may not even have the money. Most often, they don't even have the money. And the person may be staying in a faraway village. You may have to climb hills to get there. But the person who is sick will not bother, or who have some kind of spiritual problems, will not bother. He will borrow money, buy all those things, you know, bring fowl and goat and stuff. He will climb the hill just to go and meet that man. So call a medium to do all those rituals and all those manifestations, and he will take all those things and give it to him. But our God is not so. You see, God freely, I've given you freely, you give. It's for free. So this Naaman was bringing all these things, probably where I thought he's going to entice the man of God, Elisha. But and he thought, well, being a general or whoever, you know, coming, Elisha will probably come and maybe pray for him and those kind of things. But Elisha had to obey the spirit of the Lord. It doesn't, God is not a respecter of persons. It doesn't really matter that if he was a great man in Syria, God has told him, just tell your servant to tell him this. You see, Elisha could not say, well, he's a great man, let me come, you know, and pray for him. He had to follow the instruction of the Lord. And that was the Lord leading him. And he told the servant, tell him to go to River Jordan and bathe himself 7 times. We've read the story, how the general, Naaman, was very, very angry and upset, and he said all sort of things. But what did the servant say? He said, if my master told you to do some kind of a difficult task, he will do that. But what he has told you to do is just simple. Like our God is God of simplicity. There are things that he does, well, we just expect something big. But he comes and he does it very simple. You see, and most of the time people, you know, they don't believe because it's so simple. Now, like as I was praying down there in Cambodia, and Pastor Chokmon, when the first time that I went, when I prayed, and he came and said, the other sister said, well, I am going to die and all these kind of things. You know, Pastor Chokmon said, this thing that you are doing, have you ever done it before? That's to pray for the sick. Have you ever done it before? I said, but you're asking me, you're a pastor. The word says, you know, let me pray for the sick. And before God has, you know, given me dreams and revelations that I should be praying for the sick. I said, well, that's what the word says. And we have a sister here, 2 sisters here, we are sick. We have to pray for them. And the hair was like falling off and many things were like happening. But I said, well, we have to pray because I know we're worshiping the living God. And that is why I'm even trying to let me just take this moment. There are some people, I prayed for them yesterday. There was a sister, you know, she took me out for supper yesterday with her husband. And God bless them. And she was asking me many things. And I just told her to believe God. You see, we have so great a cloud of witnesses. There the testimonies, I don't know how many testimonies that we believers really have to hear before we believe. I don't know how many testimonies. Because the testimonies that we've heard about the things that Jesus is doing, the testimonies are so many that you still find some unbelief in the hearts of the people. You see, I just told her that divine healing is the children's bread. You know, we are believers of Jesus Christ. Open your heart, have faith, have prayed. God is going to do it. You see, you don't have to doubt Him. You don't have to fear, you know, oppression. And I'll tell you something. There was something that happened in Cambodia. There was one girl who lives with us. The father went to sit in a bush like that. Then they were felling, cutting down a tree. So they expected the tree to go this other way. So the man was standing the other side, but the tree went and fell on the man. I'm telling you, spinal cord, everything was just gone. The man was in serious pains. So they brought him to a Phnom Penh hospital. And we went there to pray. So I told the man that he should just believe Jesus. Because the doctor said, I mean, with a situation like that, it's difficult for you to walk. And it's true, you see, because his spinal cord, he just did the operation, but the man was in serious pain. I just went and I prayed. I told the wife that the Lord will visit your husband. Let him just have faith and be strong. That night, you know, he had a visitation and he saw himself walking. Few days, you know, he was able to, you know, I mean, to sit a bit. Although he's not walking now, but he will walk. You see, because the situation that he was before, I mean, has changed. When God does, you know, promises something, certain times people like, our sister was just like saying, oh, the healing. Can it just be like that? Is it today? Is it tomorrow? Is it next week? I said, sister, I don't know. God has promised, you know, I mean, He has His own time that is going to make it accomplished. But one thing I know, that He has promised and He's going to do it. You don't have to be afraid. You just have to hold firm to the Lord. I've seen so many things in my life, you know, before I could come this far, how the devil has fought me so heavily. You know, all kinds of things is done. But when I came to this world, I realized that, you know, the devil is nothing. You see, because my faith is in this world. So, I mean, all of us, God has given us His grace to this promised world. So we shouldn't be shaken again by the enemy. We should hold firm. So sister, hold firm. Don't be moved by, don't be afraid. So we see now as I continue the scripture, the servant of the prophet told Naaman to go and bathe in River Jordan 7 times. And what did he say? Let's read that scripture again. 12. Chapter 5, verse 12. And not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the rivers of Israel. And, you know, that is what it was like saying. Why was he saying this? He was looking at things physically. That is why I was, like say this, was looking at things physically. And, but God was not in those rivers. If Naaman went and bathed there maybe 1,000,000 times, I mean, his leprosy couldn't have gone away. Because God was not there. The servant told him, go to River Jordan and bathe as the prophet has said. And probably he must have gone doubting. He went, he bathed the first time. He bathed the second time. He bathed the third time. Until the seventh time, before he was healed of the leprosy. Now, what is this telling us? I believe, you know, we are here. The word is like washing us. I, for one, when I became a Christian, I was not like this. There were so many things that, you know, were like disease to me. You know, so many doctrines, so many things that, you know, I couldn't understand the Bible well. But as I started opening my heart to go where they preach the word, it was like water. The water was washing me. washing me. I believe many of you, when you started your Christian life, I believe that you see yourself better than when you started. And what has brought about this change is because of the Word. And not any kind of preaching. Because if I go now and be probably in the place where they are not preaching the Word. Okay, now let me just say, if somebody goes now and start bathing in the dirty water, continuously, you will never get clean. Because the water is not clean. So for you to get clean, you have to bathe in clean water. If somebody says, well, I'm going to know the Word, then you keep having doctrines of, well, let's say Catholic Church and all those kind of things, obviously, you're not going to get clean spiritually. No matter how many years you are there. There's this story about I believe many of you must have read this book, they call Merchant of Venice. It's concerning one woman who wanted to get married, and there were so many boxes, and you had gold, you had bronze, all kinds of good boxes, coated well. And the person who was supposed to get married to her must select the right box where the ring is. It's a story I read so many years ago. So many people came and failed. Many people came and they tried, but they could not succeed, you know, to get the right box where that ring was. One man came because of the fact that this woman, they call her Portia, and the man's name is Bassanio, I can still remember. When he came, because of the fact that she loved this man, she gave him a hint. This man was edging towards a box that was plated with gold. So she gave him a hint. And what did she say? She said, "All that glitters is not gold." Because that man was going, you know, that very place that man has been going, that's where many people have been going and they have been failing. But the ring was not there. You see? And God has given us hint too to the promised word, where we have to worship, where we have to go, all those kind of things. So you see, that's what happened. And when the person went there, opened that box, the box was, well, nothing, you know, you can see from appearance, but when opened that box, that was where the ring was. And you see, Mr. Naaman was depending upon the clean rivers of Abana. He was depending upon the clean rivers Fafa. You see, but what, God was not there. And no matter how many times he went to bathe there, he could not be healed of his leprosy. But as he obeyed the Lord, he went where God is, he bathed the seventh time, he was healed of his leprosy. I believe many of us, you know, when we started, maybe we have spiritual leprosy in our Christian journey. I believe so, because me, I can tell you, in the Catholic Church, and even when I started, you know, went to the Message Church, and there were so many things, you know, that my pastor told me, that, you know, they were truth, following the messages and all those kind of things, you see. But, you know, as God is so kind, as he has promised, you know, when this word keeps coming, as he has given the ministries for the edification of the body of Christ, for, you know, the perfection of the body of Christ, when we open our hearts, you know, to read what God is speaking to his ministers, I mean those that he has called, you see, because there are so many, I can say that, you see, God has not, well, God may have called them to other services, because if truly God has called them, they will have the revelation of the word. That is my point. You see, if you are to be a leader, as I was like talking about somebody driving, you know, a driver driving, you have some kind of bumps on the highway, you have some kind of gallops, you have some kind of other things. But the driver now avoids all these things on the highway just to get that person to to the destination that the person is going. So the driver will know which way to take, which is safe. So that is the same thing with the minister. And if God has not given the person the revelation, you know, there are so many things in the Bible. The people who are in his vehicle, that is he being the minister, the people, because all of us, you know, the minister like Brother Gan now, he's leading us to somewhere. He's like a driver. He wants us all to make it to heaven. It's his responsibility to God speaks to him, bring the revelation and all those things for us to understand. All those parasites and all those germs and all those things, well, I just bundle, put them all together, I call them false doctrine. God gives him the revelation to make us know the truth. Because why? He doesn't want us to have an accident. He doesn't want us to die, you see. Because when a minister gets those kind of things and is not exposed to the truth, he's already causing an accident. He doesn't know that many people that is leading, you know, they already have accidents because, I mean, there's an accident. You see, because health-wise, the food they are feeding is not pure food. Spiritually, they are dead. You see, and that is why, you know, like we read here, Naaman was sent to River Jordan. The word is there, and when he bathed seven times, he was healed. Now I believe we are taking what I would call the seventh bath. You see, the world is bathing us, trying to remove every impurity, everything, you know, that, you know, may disturb us and all those kind of things. Because I'm very, very surprised, like, when I was reading the 70 weeks of Daniel, how it's stated here in the Bible, and the first time when I came to Singapore, I remember I was like talking to brother. I said, brother, I read this 70 weeks of Daniel, and it says it's 3.5 weeks. But since when I read the scriptures, you know, I mean, I realized that there's something wrong about it. Well, the prophet said in one of the CODs, I think it's volume 2 or volume 1, I'm not quite sure, that is 3.5 weeks determined. But when I opened the scriptures, I realized that it does not tie with the scripture. Everybody can make a mistake. I called brother, I told him. He gave me an understanding. He wrote to me and explained it to me well. It made really sense. I mean, if you had to put the scripture together, you know, and it was very perfect. But you realize when you have these things like that, just for the fact that somebody said it is like this, people will not look again at the word. You see, they will look just what somebody has said. Now, if a preacher keeps doing that, you know, putting man, you know, the words of man instead of the words of God, it becomes a problem. I don't know how long you can be in such a place and be clean of your leprosy spiritually. And that is the problem. I have seen people had ministers of big names and stuff like that, but as I said, those names don't mean anything to me. What means much to me is the word. And when a minister brings an explanation of something, the first thing that I do as a child of God, I open my Bible and I verify. I say, yes, this scripture I don't understand. God has given the revelation to his servant, this minister. This is what it means, you know. I mean, the Holy Spirit will make you understand, you know, the truth. When you read it like that, you see that it ties to the scripture. That's okay. But the point is, how many people humble themselves, they are great ministers, to, like, get this revelation and look at the word? Many of them don't. But I want to thank God that we are doing our seventh bath, and we are in the right place. The right place is where they preach the pure word of God. They don't take the quotes of any person or whatever, you understand, they take what the Bible is saying. And when you keep washing yourself, or I keep washing myself, those kind of words from the Bible, you realize that time and again as you come, we get cleaner and cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. I must tell you all, we don't really have much time to be in this world. Yes, we don't really have much time. And that is the truth. It's just like, as I was like, it's just like this minister, there's one thing we always know. When we take a bath, we always have to look at the mirror. When a minister comes and preach the word, the Bible, well, is the word, is the water and the mirror at the same time. Preaches to wash away whatever thing, canker ones, power ones, caterpillars, locusts, or whatever thing, you know, preaches. Then you examine yourself, and if you have to examine yourself, what do you take to examine yourself? Oh no, I'll take someone's book and start to read. Is that what you take to examine yourself? No, you don't take that. You take the Bible. Amen. Because the Bible is your mirror. And that is what we should do. Now, there was this man of God, it's a story. He thought he was so clean. He thought he was very clean. He took a bath. And while he did not look at himself in the mirror, taking a bath, they did not look at himself in the mirror. And he was going out to meet his boss. He did not know that there was a very big lump of catarrh. You know catarrh? You know what catarrh is? He comes here, yes? Come down his nose. He did not know. Why didn't he know? Because he took a bath, he did not look at the mirror. And he was going to meet his boss. And when he got there, his boss looked at him, oh, you are dirty. Why are you coming here? Was trying to justify himself. He did not know himself that he is dirty. And why didn't he know? Because he did not look at the mirror. And he told him, I don't want to see you, just get away from me. And that is how many people are going to be surprised on that day. Because they get the word and they don't verify the things in the Bible, you see, to look themselves, how they are. They want to take some words of other people. But I keep thanking God. Because he said he's going to lead us into all those who are hunger and thirst for righteousness. He's going to lead them to the truth. So we see that is what happened here. Still talking about Naaman. Naaman was sent, obeyed the voice, and went to River Jordan. As God is calling us, speaking to us, to come to the pure word. God told the servant, Elisha, because I don't just think Elisha was just saying that, you know, without, you know, having a revelation of what God wants him to do. God must have spoken to him and said, you know, just tell him. Let him go there. You see? And when he went there, he bathed the first time. The second time. The third time. As I said before, well, the ministries are, gift ministries are to perfect the bride. To wash every kind of thing, you know, leprosy or whatever, you know, false doctrine from the people. It has to be. Naaman obeyed that voice. As God, we have obeyed the voice of God to seek for the truth. It's only when we come to the promised word we can have salvation. And it's only when we begin to look at the Bible, not looking at quotes of people or this. Well, we understand, we place them the way God has called them. But nobody, you know, should take precedence over God. You see, so that is why His word is absolute. And it's a mirror that we should always look into. And when we get the word, we have the cleansing. Because now, what I believe, here, we are in a spiritual River Jordan. I believe where the pure word is being spoken, it's like a spiritual River Jordan. That was a physical River Jordan where Naaman went and bathed himself and, you know, the leprosy, you know, went out. You see. But where the pure word is being spoken, it's like a spiritual River Jordan. Because that pure word comes to wash the believer. You know. Remove all those false doctrine, spiritual leprosy, and all those kind of things, you know, all those dirt. It may not happen just the first time. When that man went into the river, his leprosy was not just taken off. He went again the second time. He went again the third time. He went again the fourth time, the fifth time, the sixth time, and the seventh time. That was when everything was done. And that is the same thing with us too. And that is why, you know, a minister is always watching is the soul of the Christians. What, you know, they feed on. The kind of, you know, doctrine and all those kind of things. He will not want the Christians to go to have a bath in Havana or a Fapa. No minister who is called of God would like to do that. Of course, that's symbology. What I mean here is going to places where he knows they will not have the pure word, especially those who are just coming, who are growing in the faith. The minister, the man of God, will always say, well, you know, watch this place, watch the word here, watch the word here, watch the word here. You see, because he knows the progress. You know, whenever the word comes, there's something, maybe there was something here, you not understand, the word will come, hit. Ah, I did not understand this thing. Now you understand. But if you go to a place where, you know, they don't just understand the word at all. You know, they just keep, you know, adding, you know, false doctrine upon the people. I mean, that will never cleanse anyone. No matter how big the congregation is, that won't do any good. And that is why God has given us this grace to come back to the word. Ah, Naaman. I'll just keep stressing about Naaman. Naaman went to River Jordan. Obeyed the voice of the prophet. And bathed himself. As I said, we don't have much time again to be in this world. We don't have much time. Because if I have to start to say the things that, you know, I've been receiving, God has been speaking not only through me, God has been sending me things that are happening and many other things. We have so many reasons, so many signs to make us understand that we don't have much time to be in this world. The time we have to be is very short. And it's very, very important that we know where we are taking our bath. It's very, very important. Because as the word is coming, the pure word of God, that is what we need now. We don't need any contaminated doctrine. We don't need anything that is going to hinder our spiritual growth. God has given us grace to know this truth. As a matter of fact, the first time when I came to this church, I told brother when he took me out for lunch, I said, brother, God knows what I'm telling you people now. I felt the spirit. I just felt, you know, something different. I just felt, you know, lifted somehow. I felt at peace. I felt good. But the first time when I came, I went to a denominational church. And yes, they, you know, they were doing all this, they are dancing and this. Oh, they were jumping and there's nothing wrong about that. Miriam, you know, rejoiced when they crossed the Red Sea. But it's the spirit that is there that troubles me. I tried to stay there. I went the first Sunday, second Sunday again. I could not just stay. Because when the preacher came to the pulpit, what he was like teaching, oh, I could not feed on that crap. Yes, I just couldn't feed on it. And when I left the place, left the church, I would see the people be good and this, but my soul, my spirit was grieved. I love the people. I mean, I like them. You know, they are good people. But when I go to a place that they don't preach the truth, I mean, it troubles me. It makes me to become depressed. Even while there, as the preacher speaks and talks, I don't feel comfortable in the church. We are baptized by one spirit. And if we're in one spirit, you know, we should like be in the world. People should not have their different doctrines and stuff like that. And the point is, you know, making it to rapture is not going to be, I see people come with funny kind of doctrines and, you know, this one does not agree with this, that one does not agree with that, and or with this message or whatever. That is not what is going to rapture the people. What is going to rapture the people is the Word of God. You see, and unless we come to the Word, you know, whatever ministry we may claim to have, if we are not in the Word, well, first, there's a problem with the ministry. Because the person that God has called will give the person the revelation to bring his people to the truth. That is what I always, you know, say. Well, the people may be called in to do different other things in the church. But being a leader in the church, like brother, you know, it's a job, being a leader, the Lord will open the hidden things in the Bible, make him to understand so that the people will not be deceived. But if the minister was supposed to be a leader, if he is deceived, how will the Christians receive? Because he himself hasn't got the light. And that is the problem. But people now, like Naaman, they will see some big, fine church. Like I heard brother was telling me about, is it the charismatic church, that the people are so many there. And the pastor said, well, this place cannot accommodate us again. So let us contribute money and, you know, have a bigger place. And one day I heard, you know, they contributed how much? $100 and something million. Imagine that kind of a thing. People will go and they will see the beauty of the thing and stuff like that. You see, we don't want to go to Abana. That's Abana. We don't want to go there. You see, we are obeying the voice of the Lord. The people God has sent, like our brother, and, you know, giving the revelation, to go to Jordan, walk and receive the pure word. Where we can have the revelation of the truth. As I was like preaching yesterday, you know, when I was like doing all kinds of things, I surrendered things to the Lord, I realized the door opened and I started getting the revelations of brother. Every time going to the met, saw white car and all those things. I mean, many, several times until when again I saw him in a dream. So God who gave me, showed me the prophets, gave me a revelation of the prophets' message, you see, to make me understand that the message is true, gave me revelation concerning brother's ministry too, to understand the word. No doubt the prophet message is correct, but the way people have interpreted it, they have just made a mess out of it. And that is the problem. We hear all this holding firm to this, holding firm to that. But anyways, we thank God. That is the thing, you know, God has given us the grace. Yes, called us out from, I believe, as I said before, we are sealed. Because when you have that hunger, you know, you come, God shows you the light. As he talked, when Jesus told John, you know, let it be so to fulfill all righteousness. And we read, you know, yesterday, how the heavens opened, you know, how the dove came with light. We are receiving the light now of the word. You see, I mean, the light is so strong. Because brothers, the message I see there covers a lot of things in the Bible that I don't understand. A lot. 4 years ago, I got the dream, the vision. I was going up and I saw him. You see, I was going up and I saw the strange writings. It was like the revelation of the word that God has given him to, you know, make the people understand more. You see, and all these things. So see how God is working, making his people to understand, I mean, come bring them out to the promised world. And we are bathing ourselves, and we are so close now, we are taking our seventh bath. This is not a time to joke. This is not a time to joke. So what the food that you receive is very, very important for your cleansing. You see, because the Bible says we should be perfect as the Lord himself is perfect. You see, and what is going to perfect us is his word, not doctrine from any person. Whatever small thing, whatever faith and whatever small thing that is like trying to hold you down now, you see, you just need a pure word. You're in the right place to get that word constantly for your souls and for my souls. I can really tell you that I've benefited a lot since I surrendered myself, my life to the Lord, to lead me into all truth. And I keep saying that one of the things that is like what troubling people, they don't want to humble themselves. They don't want to be like little children. Yes. Because Daddy, our Lord Jesus, is our Father. And he expects us to be like little children. A little child doesn't have make any plans of his own. He doesn't have, he depend, just depend on, upon the parents and to do this for him, do this for just like that. So God wants us to be like little children to obey his word. But you have people who cannot humble themselves to do that. And when they cannot humble themselves to do that, either, well, they were called to do some other things in the church. They were not called to lead, because to lead is not an easy thing. You know, guys, when you see brother here, some people may just think that it's easy. You don't know the responsibility that your souls, I mean, he's watching over your souls. All what he's telling the people, all what ministers are preaching and telling the Christians, if they're not speaking the truth, it's on that day they're going to see how things are going to look like. So the minister is watching over the souls of the Christians, and it's the responsibility to make sure he speaks the truth to them. And the truth can only come through the word. As we are bathing now, we are bathing, as I said, this place is like spiritual River Jordan. Because I believe, you know, many of us that had some kind of things like wrong doctrine and many other kind of things that were like hindering our spiritual growth, because of this ministry, not only you people here, but this ministry has helped a lot. Reading the internet and many things, you know, and people testifying what this ministry has done. You see, because of the revelation of the word, bringing people back to the word so that they can be washed. Yes. And we are so thankful. And anytime the word comes, what do? We go open the Bible. We open the Bible. It's like a mirror to look ourselves through the mirror. How am I now? Well, this minister preached about this. He preached about that. He has come with the word. I believe the word has touched me. It's washed me somehow. I go and I open the Bible. I say, but now, what level? I mean, how clean am I? You see, so always look at the word. It's our mirror. But if we think that we have a bath, we cannot open the word to look at it, then there's a problem. So I really want to thank God for the grace that he has given us to know this truth. Amen. And we should be very careful now. We are doing our seventh bath. Yes, we are doing our seventh bath. And I strongly believe that, you see, people in this church, you know, I mean, there have been like, you know, those spiritual leprosy and all those things, you know, the word has washed them. Because when I come here, I see that the Spirit of God is with the people. You see, the people have been confirmed here, I believe, because you, many of you, cannot be tossed again by any kind of doctrine. God has confirmed you already. This is my son, this is my daughter. As he spoke, you know, when John baptized Jesus. Yes, this is my son. You see, because you have received the light, you have received the word, and now Jesus has sealed you. You're my son, my daughter. You cannot be shaken again. I don't think you can, any of you can go anywhere and you listen to some kind of false doctrine, you believe it again. You cannot. Why? Because the seal of God is already in you. The light has come and the word has come to make it perfect, to make it grow. As we are taking our seventh bath, it's very, very important. As Naaman took his, he came out from the water and he was healed of the leprosy. So I believe this seventh bath we are taking now, which I believe is going to be the last bath we are taking, is going to wash us from any little thing, false doctrine, any leprosy, anything that may want to like disturb us. This last bath, the seventh bath we are taking, is going to cleanse us all. So that is just this message. You know, the Lord has led me to preach to you people. We are in the right place. We are taking our seventh bath. Let us be very careful with the doctrine that we listen to. But I believe that the Lord has confirmed us because the light has come and the word has come and he has made us solid. Yes, they were not perfected yet. The word is still coming. But it's the seventh bath. Yes, so we are really thankful. I would like us to stand so that I can pray. Precious Lord, Savior and Master, I want to thank you, O Lord, for giving me the opportunity to stand, O Papa, to speak, O Lord, to your children. I'm not even worthy to do that. Lord, you know, well, that is by your grace. Papa, I'm so happy, O Lord, for this church, O Lord, and the word, O Papa, that they are receiving. O Papa, I believe, Lord, your word comes in purity, O Lord, and Papa, you have cleansed, O Lord, them. Papa, you have healed them, O Lord, I believe. You know, we are aware that they cannot be tossed, you know, by any kind of doctrine. Papa, Lord, as your word has come again, O Papa, as we are taking our seventh bath, let your word, O Papa, go and wash us from any little thing, O Lord, that may hinder our spiritual growth. O Papa, let us be solid and be strong as we wait for your coming. O Papa, I pray that may your light shine. Take total control, O Lord, Papa, we worship you. Cover us all with your precious blood. Papa, Lord, may your heaven be glorified. We are so thankful for this day. Oh, Papa, yes, let it be light. Thank Amen. You, Lord, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. So I pray for those maybe later who are sick and, you know. And,
so. Anybody wants to be prayed for, come right up.